If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Well, the holidays have come and gone once again, but if you've forgotten to get that special someone in your life a gift, well, Mint Mobile is extending their holiday offer of half off unlimited wireless. So here's the idea. You get it now. You call it an early present for next year.
What do you have to lose?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Limited time 50% off regular price for new customers. Upfront payment required. $45 for 3 months, $90 for 6 months, or $180 for 12-month plan. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds may slow after 50 gigabytes per month when network is busy. See terms.
Welcome back to Gabbing with Gib. Today we're talking all about Real Housewives of Atlanta, The Valley, and Love Hotel with Mary Payne Gilbert. She is the host of the excellent reality TV podcast Pink Shade, which I have guested on a couple times, but I finally got her on to Gabbing with Gib today. We recorded on Friday, so we don't incorporate the latest episodes of Real Housewives of Atlanta or Love Hotel, but we also didn't recap those episodes and we talked more big picture mostly, so the conversation very much still holds up. But I did want to get into the scene at the end of this week's Real Housewives of Atlanta, which was the sit down with Portia and Shamia, the conversation at the end of the episode. Basically, like, you know, we saw what had happened at the previous event that Portia hosted for Pampered by Portia. And we talked about that with Mary Payne in this episode and sort of the themes that are emerging from that. But this was the first big sit down that they had talking about their friendship, with Shamia really airing out her issues with how their friendship has been. I will say at the top, like at the end of the day, I think this duo is much better as friends on TV and in real life. Like, I can already tell that them as enemies, them falling out, them not liking each other is more sad to me than giving good drama personally. Like, I think they're a really fun duo. And just knowing how long they've been friends with one another, I would much rather see these two be friends. And more so than other friendship fallouts that we've seen. It's obviously a very common thing on Real Housewives for longtime friends to break up, which is a whole other topic and obviously not the best, but some of those breakups make for amazing TV. They make for very compelling television. And something about the Shamia and Portia friendship breakup is just, it's making me sad. I don't know if I'm the only one, but obviously there's a lot there and there's some things they need to work out, which I'm glad that they're airing them out. I mean, you know, it's sad that the cameras are inevitably coming between these longtime friends. And I will say that big picture, I wish that Portia could just recalibrate the way that she acts in their friendship to accommodate for Shamia stepping into her own more and becoming the star that she's kind of always destined to be. Like, Portia knows, like, Shamia, the only reason why Shamia couldn't be on the show in a bigger way previously was because of her husband, who didn't want to film. And now that he is down to film, she's on the show. And Portia knows how all that's been behind the scenes, I'm sure, way more than we'll ever know. And so, like, I just wish that she could, like, meet Shamia there in that way. And I think that she has it in her, for sure. But she's being stubborn. I think her ego is getting in the way. And I also think that being said, I do think Shamia came into this conversation very hot. I think that, you know, she kind of steamrolled Portia in the conversation. You know, Portia did kind of shut down, but Shamia came in like so prepared. She had a lot of feelings. And again, rightfully so. I think her feelings are very valid and they make sense to me. And I think that Portia could have done a much better job at acknowledging those feelings than just sort of like shutting down and walking to the bathroom and being emotional. But also, on the flip side, Portia knows how this works. She sees it for what it is, which is enhancing a natural fracture in their friendship for the cameras sort of at an opportune time. And that doesn't, again, that does not take away from Shamia's reality and how she feels in this friendship, because I think both of those things can be true. She's just bringing them up at a convenient time. And Portia knows that. I think Portia is hurt by the fact that Shamia is doing it on camera. I think Shamia is hurt that Portia is not validating her feelings and budging to sort of meet her where she is. And I think that Portia knows how these conversations work with producers. They're in Shamia's ear. They're like, you know, you should really bring this up with her. This has been a long festering thing. And she has every right to do that. But I think Portia is really? Like, you're going to do this on camera after our whole friendship of several decades and not give me a warning off camera? Like, she sees where it's going, especially considering sort of how Shamia is talking about it from the get. Like, Shamia is framing this as like, what'd she say? She was like, if we can salvage this friendship. And Portia's like, wait, what? Like, how did we get there? Like, yeah, we had an argument. Yeah, we're not really seeing eye to eye on certain things. And we both said sort of shady things about one another during filming this season. But like, it's that deep that now it's a friendship that might not even be able to be salvaged. Like, if I'm Portia, I'm like, wait, what? Like, that's a wild jump to make, honestly. And, you know, Portia has not always been the best friend to Shamia, and she should change her ways, again, to accommodate for this sort of new, more empowered Shamia, I would say. But those are tweaks to a friendship. Like, that's obviously a big dynamic change, but all it would take would be a few tweaks from Portia for Shamia to feel that from her, you know? But again, like, Shamia was talking as if like it was already a done deal that they could potentially like never be friends again. And in Portia's eyes, it's like, hold on, like, we're already at that point. It's that serious. And I also, you know, I think that Portia, I think she wishes that this was not happening on camera for the first time for two reasons. I think one is for her to not look bad. And, you know, that's sort of the ego part. That's the stubborn part. That's the part where she knows like she's being made to look like the bad friend, because in some ways she's not being a good friend, right? But I think the second reason why she's upset that it's happening on camera is because I think that she knows, she probably recognizes in some ways, like, this is a conversation they should have had years ago, right? Like, this is a conversation that has been lingering between them. But if you're having it on camera for the first time, if you're Shamia and Portia, real life, longtime friends, it's not going to be completely authentic. It's not going to be completely real because, I mean, just for a variety of reasons, I would say. And Shamia is kind of stunting for the camera, which I don't blame her for, but if you're Portia and you know Shamia on a deep, deep level like that, you're like, wait a second, this isn't even you. You know what I mean? And so I think that it's throwing Portia for a loop that Shamia is almost like expecting their entire friendship dynamic of 20, 30 years to change overnight. And like, I think Shamia is presenting it in that way because it's been festering for so long and she is so fed up, but it's like, it's hard because Shamia could have brought this up a long time ago and she didn't feel, I think the cameras have empowered her to do so, which is great. But it's, again, sending her a different kind of signal to Portia. And also, like, it's like, hold on, like, you guys, it's been this sort of dynamic of Portia on a pedestal for so long. And that's not right, probably, if you're Shamia, but that's also how it's been. And so, like, she's going to need to give Portia a little bit of time and space to, like, step into that new dynamic if they and I think they can both do that, but I think it's unrealistic of Shamia to expect Portia to change completely overnight like that. You know what I mean? I don't know if I'm saying that correctly, but that's sort of how I'm feeling on it, honestly. And then the whole thing about Portia posting on her story ahead of the episode, she like watched the screener a couple days early and then she posted like this really strongly worded thing aimed at Shamia, like, don't bring up my mom, like, what are you implying about Miss Diane? And there is definitely tea there. Shamia, we see in the episode what Portia was referring to, which was this confessional where Shamia is explaining basically like their moms had a falling out. They used to be best friends and that's sort of how they got to know each other initially, but they aren't friends anymore. Something happened between them. She didn't really get into particulars, but she made it sort of sound like they both did things. And I think that what Portia maybe had an issue with was that like Shamia was implying that was maybe like a mutual fallout. They were both to blame for certain things, implying Diane did something to contribute to that fallout. And it sounds to me as if Portia is implying that it was all Shamia's mother's doing. And again, it's hard to make a judgment call on this, honestly, until we know what went down between them. And I think that we might not ever know that. I hope Andy asks about that at the reunion. But I also could see them not wanting to speak on their mother's behalves and get into all of that. But I think that Portia's statement was way too strongly worded. And she kind of, I think the way that she framed it made it seem like Shamia had like said something really crazy about her mom. And she didn't really say anything crazy. And I don't even think she implied anything major. She just implied it was maybe more mutual or equal in the fallout than it maybe was. I don't know. But I think that was a misstep by Portia for sure. Anyway, at the end of the day, and this whole thing with Shamia and Portia, I just think that they should both do their best to get back to being friends at this reunion. I think there is a fracture between them that maybe it won't be back to what it was before, but they're better as friends. I already know that. And I think there's more of this fallout to come, and I don't think it's going to be fun to watch. I don't know. Just to me, it's sad. And I really love both of them. And I just think it'd be much more fun to see them kikiing and laughing and, you know, making more good memories together than having this define Shamia's first season as a Real Housewife. You know what I mean? Like, they're just more powerful together. They're not one of those duos that's fun to watch falling out, to be honest. Anyway, those are my thoughts on what we saw from Portia and Shamia. And just a little bit of housekeeping up here before you get to my conversation with Mary Payne. I'm going to Europe for 2 weeks on Wednesday. Humble brag. But I have two weddings that are 1 weekend apart. So it's a wedding, weekend free, and another wedding, both in Europe. And so, you know what? I was like, I'm not going to fly back to New York between these two weddings. Like, I'm going to work from there. I'm going to bop around a little bit. I have some friends over there that I can stay with and see in different cities. And I'm just going to live my little Euro trip life, part solo trip, part seeing friends. I'll still be releasing episodes as normal. But I wanted to say it up here on the pod because they might not be as many like reacting to the actual episodes each week for the next 2 weeks with other people. I'm figuring out the exact way that I will be watching episodes still in the coming weeks while I'm there, because a lot of these streaming services don't work in Europe. So I'll probably like VPN or download on iTunes or something. I'm asking the internet for the best way to do that because I don't know it. But if it's not with other people, I will still be talking about the episodes in my intros probably. I'm bringing my mic. So I'll still be recording, but I just wanted to prepare you that I have recorded a couple episodes in advance that are bigger picture, really fun, great conversations that I think you'll still love. But it might be more of that kind of thing for the next couple weeks on here. But I'll still be turning them out. Don't worry. And I also have some Secret Lives of Mormon Wives content coming for you because I'm obsessed with that show. And I think that season 2 is one of the best seasons of a reality show in recent memory. I think it's one of the best shows, period, on TV this year. Like, it is such a good season of TV. I'm still not even finished with it because I'm, as I said on TikTok this weekend, like, I like to take my time with this. This is one of those moments where I'm like, God damn it. Like, I love the show so much, but I think it would have benefited immensely from being released in a couple batches. Like, even if it was like 3, 3, and 4 or 4, 3, and 3, I think that it would have prolonged the conversation. And my issue with the binge drop of 10 hour long episodes of this like really dense, dramatic show is like everybody watched it at different paces. So like some people binged it in one day and they want to talk about what apparently the last 10 minutes of the season is crazy. And I'm like, I'm not going to get there for like 4 more days because I'm trying to take my time. I like to appreciate the finer things in life. And to me, The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives is a finer thing in life. Yes, thank you very much. But it's like, it's hard to talk about it online because like, also, because the dynamics change so much and so much happens, it's like I could watch episode 4 and say something really nice about Demi, but I can tell that she does something crazy later on. So it's like, how can I talk about it? And you know that I haven't gotten to that part yet. So like my opinion might change. You know what I'm saying? But like if they had just dropped the first 4, then we would all sort of be on the same page. And you know what I'm saying? But like that just... this is perfectly indicative of why I'm not a big fan of the binge drop anymore. It doesn't do it for me, you know, and it's like too much of a good thing in some ways, you know. For some shows it works, but for a show like this where it's such a water cooler conversation starter type show with so much going on in every single episode and so much changing. I just think that it would have benefited from a prolonged airing period. But you know what? We got all 10 episodes. I'm loving it. And I'm just making my way through it. I'm interviewing some people tomorrow. I'm recording this on Monday. So more to come for you about Secret Lives of Mormon Wives. Don't worry. I'll be sharing all my thoughts. But it really is. It's kind of like scratching that Real Housewives of Salt Lake City itch in multiple ways, I think, not just because they're both in Salt Lake City and kind of Mormon centric. I think for just sort of like the chaoticness, the like every episode being a banger, you know, aspect of it, it's hitting. It really, really, really is. Anyway, that's it from me up top. Keep listening for my chat with Mary Payne Gilbert. Check out her podcast, Pink Shade, wherever you get your podcasts. And please make sure to rate, review, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gib wherever you're listening to this right now. We'll see you later this week. I want to gab. All right, today we're gabbing with Mary Payne Gilbert, host of the excellent reality TV podcast, Pink Shade, which I have been a guest on a couple of times. I'm thrilled to finally have Mary Payne here to chat the latest Bravo happenings. MP, thanks for being here. So, okay, we're not talking about it because you don't watch it, but can you tell me why you don't watch Summer House? Like, what's not appealing about it to you?
It's not that it's not appealing. Okay. It's that it's too late for me. Do you know what I mean? It's too late for me. There's too many seasons and it just can't happen because it's just too late. And now I already know these people get together. These people right. break up. You know, these people get divorced and she has a baby with somebody else. And then Paige and Craig. So I know so much that I feel like if I watched it, I would just be like, okay, what? They're not going to be together.
But like, I feel like it, because you've heard so much, like you could just jump in if you felt compelled to.
I could. I will tell you, I did watch one episode this season, and okay. I can't remember why. I don't know if it was on after
a
something
Craig
else.
Reason, maybe?
It was probably because of Craig, because I'm a big Southern Charm fan. But it was an episode where they have this roommate, and he's like a huge whore.
And game rule. Yeah.
Yeah, and the other guys like go in there and like get in the bed with him and the girl he's hooking up with. They're like...
And he gets his toe socked.
Nice.
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah, that was a whole scandal on Summer House this season. So that's what you're missing.
So Emeril's housemate got his toe sucked by the girl that Emeril was hooking up with.
Yes. And that happened when the guy, Jesse, who went into the room, when his flame of the moment was not at the house that weekend. And so he lied by omission by not telling her about that. She was like, how's the weekend? You know? And
he didn't say, hey, I just swung by Emerald's room and got my toe sucked. I mean,
he missed that part. Yeah. But obviously got back to her and, you know, okay. yada, yada, yada. So,
all right.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Well, I am missing it. I know. And I know. And I wrote you and I said, I would love to come and talk Bravo with you, but I don't watch Summer House. And I know
okay.
that makes me a liability.
No,
I know.
It's okay. I can't keep up with having to like recap everything every single week. So I pick and choose what I talk about every single week. So I'm happy. And this also gives me an excuse to talk about Love Hotel, that's where mm-hmm. I want to start because I am loving this show so much. It's like scratching an itch that I needed to be scratched. I didn't realize. It's such a joy. I think they chose such great women for it for this first season. I think the men are great, even though I can't really remember most of their names. Like I love.
Oh, I had
group.
To make a flow chart and then strike out and add and yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe I can help you, but I'm not sure.
Okay, perfect. What is standing out to you about Love Hotel so far?
Well, a few things are standing out. The first one is Luann just, not only does she not change, she just gets worse.
I was going to say better.
Exactly. Do you right. know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's like,
I do.
She's so arrogant and full of herself and just assumes every single man in the house is going to be in love with her
right.
and not anybody else. This last episode where they're like, okay, darling, I'll let Shannon have Adam. Because she just assumes that like six different men want her and it's fine for her to give up one for the sake of the good. So Shannon didn't have to be with Earl the Pearl anymore. I don't know. It's just, it's wild to me. It's,
yeah,
wild,
it's wild
to me. And I think that having two more contestants would be good. Women.
Two more men? Oh, women. Okay.
Two more women would be good. I think they brought in the new guys too soon. I think they should have given it and what is time, right? Was this 2 days? Was it 2 weeks? Like, we don't know. But I felt like episodically, they could have let us get to know that first batch of guys better before they eliminated some.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And I got to say, I don't love Joel Kim Booster as the host. This episode, they gave him a little more to do, but you're wondering if he's had that to do the whole time and they've cut it out because of the controversy.
I know. I was about I agree about the sort of the different like timelines and things. And I think that like that's what's exciting about Love Hotel to me is that like they can easily sort of shift that kind of stuff around if they were to do a second season. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They could, you know, change up like when and how they do certain things. But ultimately, I just like love the premise. And I love that it's like we see some of these favorite housewives like just in a different scenario, kind of frees them up to like not be burdened with like the drama of their franchise. And it's refreshing to see, especially somebody like Giselle. I think we're seeing kind of like a softer, vulnerable side to her, which I really like.
I do worry the next week she's going to be very mad at Ashley for publicly declaring that Ralph was her number three. Ralph, okay, this is a mission that I'm on and maybe you can help me. Okay. John Hill said he would help me, but he has not come through. I want to find out what bands did Ralph work for? Because he's like, I've traveled the world with like the biggest rock bands in the world.
Say
and
that.
I'm like, which ones, bro? Give us a receipt.
Name them,
Ralph. I think next week, I think that's going to add in because I think probably Giselle did tell Ashley, oh, Ralph told me like he's really into me. And then Ashley went in there. She's already got two guys pining for her. But I think with Ashley, her point with Wale this week was super valid in that she's like, look, bro, you're geographically not great for me. I mean, you know, me and Keisha, my co-host, trying to figure out, who did I do it with? Kate Casey or somebody. We were geographically trying to figure out, I think it was John Hill, how far is D.C. area to like Rhode Island or to Boston? We were like, how far is it?
That's like an 8-hour train, nine-hour train. Because it's like three to four, depending on if you're Amtrak or Acela.
Okay. Because I was like,
it's four between New York and Boston. Yeah.
Okay. So he's not a train right away. It's not a 3-hour train.
It's a flight. That's a flight.
It's a flight.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then didn't you think it was interesting? Also, the point she made to Wale, you know, and also like, you're young and want to have kids and I'm done with that. Like, she's like, I need to solve my daddy issues with a different daddy, which is valid. That's why she's going for Ralph. Don't you also think it's interesting that, first of all, Wale was so insecure.
Mm-hmm.
So insecure. I was like,
yeah, he was like flummoxed by the fact that she would like turn him down, basically.
I was like, bro, you're blowing it.
I know. He can't have that. That's even more of a turnoff, his reaction to her saying that.
Yes. So she's like, forget it now. But don't you think it's interesting when they brought in the second round of guys that they were all actually geographically correct? We got
that's a good point.
Santa Monica. We got USC. Yeah. We got DC area. So now it's like, oh, it was weird that they did that too. I guess they brought in that second round that because they're like, how much is geography going to play into this? Yeah.
It's also showing itself in Shannon and Earl the Pearl because he lives in like a lake house in like Minnesota or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm,
and she's like, maybe he's too different from me. So, and it's also interesting because I think Ashley is now currently in current times, like she's with the guy that she met on the speed dating event on the last season of Potomac.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I remember.
Yeah,
okay.
So she's been posting with him and stuff.
She wasn't.
I know, but she's been posting with him during this filming of the new season of Potomac.
Okay, but what's the time frame on this when Love Hotel was?
I think Potomac was filming last summer.
Mm-hmm.
And she was probably hooking up with the guy, I forget his name.
Is it Josh?
Something like that.
Yeah.
It's the one that Wendy called Jack Harlow. And
yes, I love Jack Harlow.
Me too. And I think that they were probably kind of like a situationship kind of thing. And then Ashley had this opportunity to go to Love Hotel. So she pressed pause on that. Who knows if something comes out of this and if something doesn't work out, I don't think. And then she gets back with this guy. That's sort of what I think the timeline is.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean that she doesn't find somebody at least for a little bit on this. I don't know.
Or she just tells them, look, I've got this opportunity to go on this show. They're going to give me...
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
$30,000. And so that's, you know, one kid's private school tuition. So let me do it. Yes.
I want to circle back to something you brought up earlier, which is the Joel Kim booster of it all, because there was this really, it was a really nice conversation that he and Shannon had in her hotel room. It kind of felt like to me, he went in there with the intention of making her cry. You know what I mean? Like they wanted her to cry in that moment. Yeah. And like, it's not that hard to make Shannon cry, as we all know. But ultimately it was a very nice conversation, I thought, but like,
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands you need, from athletic stuff, like a full-court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff, like a half-mile stroll. Get those steps in! And for morning hikes up the mountain trail, good pace, to nighttime ghost stories from the camping chair. What a twist! Whatever level of active, Sierra loves it all. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
The world moves fast. Your workday, even faster. Pitching products, drafting reports, analyzing data. Microsoft 365 Copilot is your AI assistant for work. Built into Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and other Microsoft 365 apps you use. Helping you quickly write, analyze, create, and summarize. So you can cut through clutter and clear a path to your best work. Learn more at Microsoft.com/M365Copilot.
Honestly, this entire show, there's this elephant in the room of like knowing that he comes after Shannon for allegedly treating a crew member badly at the rap party. And so it's like this weird thing of watching a moment like that.
First of all, it's crazy that, I don't know, it just seems like we're just, you know, and Bravo does this a lot, like, okay, don't look over here, look over here. But we all know what happened. And I do think that after he did that, I think he was like drunk and thought it was funny or whatever. And then I do think he apologized.
He did.
But to me, it would be like, well, we haven't seen him on Watch What Happens Live promoting the show. And he was on Watch What Happens Live many times before.
Yeah.
And now I think probably they're like, okay, no. So I think that for if they do it again, I'd like to see two more bachelorettes, and I'd like to see, let us have the guys a little longer before we eliminate. And then I'd also like to see a different
new host.
Yeah. I mean,
I think so too.
A woman of that age would be a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Also,
who can really speak from experience, you know? And I totally am with that.
Yeah.
I don't think he, other than this one moment, like he hasn't really brought much as the host. So it's not like he's not intrinsically linked with Love Hotel to me. You know, it's about the women ultimately for me.
Yes, I agree. Yeah. It could be Love Hotel goes to Greece and look at this hot Greece man, or you know what I mean, a woman. It'd be interesting if they could just like be like, okay, we're just going to lean in and like White Lotus it and change the host every time.
Very White Lotus, just change locations every time. I love that. All right. Yeah. I'm just loving Love Hotel. Like, I just think it's such a, it's a nice addition to the Bravo diet. You know what I mean?
Like, I agree.
It's
fun.
And it's a great way to keep some, to rotate some former housewives into the mix, I think. Like, you know what I mean?
Yes. Do you think that Philip, do you think he actually lives in Bel Air? He was getting real specific about his street and whatnot.
He was, which sometimes getting so specific can be a little bit of like a red herring. You know what I mean? But do you not buy his story?
No, I was talking to Kate Casey about it. And she's like, yeah, sure. Because she had heard some inside scoop about James from Santa Monica that went to USC.
Uh-huh.
She had heard some inside scoop that like, he's an entrepreneur is code for like loser classic. Who doesn't work. Yeah.
Classic. Yeah. Yeah. Well, maybe he does live in Bel Air, but it's not a main road like Sutton. So
maybe he lives in Sutton's guest house of her Bel Air home.
Maybe he's replaced Ari as her.
Gibson, tell me what happened with that.
I don't know. I don't know if anybody knows what happened. That appearance of her on Jeff Lewis Live was one of the weirder, more cagey
interviews. Was that recent? Because I don't listen to that anymore. Was that recent?
I don't listen to it either, but the clip was shared a bunch of places.
Okay.
It was like last week or something. And I don't know what, if I'm Sutton right now, I'm not doing press. I'm keeping my head down, like, because I don't want to talk about the Garcelle thing and I don't want to talk about the Avi thing.
Okay.
And like, so I don't know why she went on with Jeff Lewis Live. I don't. But she goes on and he hounds her with questions about Garcelle and then about Avi. And she doesn't really give like any solid answers to anything. She's like, yeah, we parted ways. Yeah, we parted ways. Like she won't say, and he's like, you fired him or did he leave? And she's like, we chose to part ways. Like it was really odd.
Avi come out and said anything?
Not that I can tell. Not that I've seen.
He doesn't seem like a thirst bucket type that would post a TikTok. No,
I agree.
Yeah. So, or he could have an NDA. Yeah.
I bet he has an NDA. And I bet you she's part of the reason why she's being careful probably is to not like, because if she says something that's not really the truth to make herself look better, then he'll come out and dispel that. So I think if her playing it down the middle doesn't make him look bad or good, I guess. I don't know.
That's right. I bet Garcelle, if asked, would have something to say about it because she would probably be like, she treated him terribly, you know?
Garcelle posted a couple of days after the Jeff Lewis thing, unclear if it's related. But she was like, I've been loving the let them theory.
Yeah.
So yeah. I think that maybe that was a little bit of a backhanded thing. I want to go over to Atlanta.
Okay.
Let's talk about Shamia and Portia's impending or already starting friendship fallout that we're seeing kind of play out. Because I feel two ways about it, but I want to know how you're taking it so far.
Well, I think it's true that Portia probably for all those years didn't want her to be like a main character. And I think we see this a lot. I mean, you know, the origin story of that would be Teresa and Melissa, you know,
totally.
Like
that's
you
a good comparison
because you don't want your somebody that you're close with in your life to come into this section of your life. And it's maybe not so much of a money thing or steal my thunder or, you know, make me look bad. But I think it's more of like, I just need to keep this friendship over here. I need to have one thing in my life that's not associated with this show. And Shamia has been on as a friend of for so long. It's just like Marlo. People begged for her to come on for years. And then, you know, that didn't last. But Shamia, I think, is killing it. I just think... Yeah. I kind of would understand if Shamia had been asked many times and said no, but I would also understand if Portia had strictly said to production, like, if you're going to bring her on, I'm leaving. And then they choose to pick Portia.
Yeah.
Shamia doesn't need the money. She doesn't need the cash.
No, she doesn't. No, she doesn't. But it's like, if they were interested in her and the only reason why they didn't have her on before was because of the husband, and now the husband's down, it's like, you can't stop her from doing it, you know?
Yeah,
and like,
yeah.
I totally get that in terms of the Portia sort of protecting that friendship, because also like inevitably when you bring a friend onto one of these shows, like there's more than a 50-50 chance that something's going to, that your friendship is going to be negatively impacted by,
yes,
by
totally.
The show. Mm-hmm. And so like, so Shamia joining as a full-time person definitely changed the dynamic inherently. Her becoming like more of like a prominent star on the show also definitely like impacted that, and definitely I'm sure Portia feels some type of way about that. But I also, on the flip side, it's like, don't you feel like their friendship has probably had this same dynamic where like Portia's kind of
the star, and Shamia's kind of the friend a little bit. And like that probably isn't fair, but that seems like that's the way it's been for them for so long. Mm-hmm. But like for it to flip, if you're Portia, it definitely is going to throw you for a loop. And that's not to defend her for not giving Shamia more of like an opportunity. But I can understand her not knowing what to do with that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. But Shamia is so, so good.
Yeah. She's amazing.
So like dynamic. And we didn't know we needed her because we never had her, you know? And of course, it's just like Portia. It's just like Phaedra. It's just like these people that come back, even dare I say Bethany, people that have such amazing personalities that you can't mm-hmm. look away because they're going to do something funny. They're going to just be, I don't know. So I feel like if Portia and Shamia, hopefully,
I know,
will just like stay, they've got to make an off-screen pact of like, nothing will happen to it. Of course, it's going to happen anyway. But that whole thing, I've heard this. Haven't we heard this story before about Portia not going to Shamia's wedding in Kenya because she has like blood clots in her legs, or it was something about.
Well, Shamia said on Watch What Happens Live, like she's basically given like five different excuses for why she didn't go.
It was something about laying down.
Right. There was some like weird health thing. Then there was then she claimed, I think on the show, that it was because they had been fighting before. But then.
Yes.
It was also another time, I think it was another excuse was like that she was busy or something. So like there's been a bunch of different excuses given from Portia for why she wasn't at the Kenya wedding and the wedding in Kenya. And that is obviously suspect. So.
Yeah. And if she's just like, look, I just can't fly internationally like that. Like it's, you know, 20 hours. Or whatever. Like I just can't. Listen, I'm your best friend in the world. I can't do it.
Yeah.
Like physically, I can't do it. But it sounds like they weren't even getting along at the time. And then like right before they were getting along. And then she's like, what? I got to spend $10,000 on a ticket. But I think Shamia was like, I'll pay for it. And then she still wouldn't go.
But then pride comes into it. You know what I mean?
Then yes. Like, yes.
Right.
So if Portia's like the funny friend and the star, Shamia is the rich friend.
Totally. You know? Shamia is the rich friend. She's also the consistent friend. You know, I think that like she's, you know, I think Portia, part of what makes her such a good Bravo celebrity is that she's so kind of like up and down, and like she's like in a really good mood, like really vivacious one scene, and then the next scene she's kind of down and she's kind of like not speaking at that dinner table in Nashville, you know, like
she's like, it's fine, I'm fine, don't ask me,
but the volatility like
fine.
Makes you a good person to watch on TV because it's so like you never know what you're gonna get. I think with Shamia, I love the sort of consistency with her. I love that she's like great with her family, great with the friends, like seems like a really just good person all around.
Mm-hmm.
But what one of the things that sort of confused me though on Watch What Happens Live, Andy was like, no, look, you guys will get back there, like we have the reunion coming up or whatever. And then she was kind of like, it seemed like she was sort of throwing in the towel already, you know, she was like really like down about it. But then like the next day or the day after, they had this like really like bizarre exchange on Instagram where like I think it was Portia's birthday or Shamia's birthday, forgive me, but like they had this like back and forth in the comments and it was like very like business-like, you know what I mean? It was very like,
that's not what I thought you were gonna say.
No, it was very like, thank you so much for that, you know, it was like very like colleague vibes. Mm-hmm. And it was,
I appreciate your well wishes, good day to you, sir.
That was very close to what it felt like, honestly. And like it just confused me after her Watch Robin's Live appearance, you know what I mean? So I still have faith that on the reunion they could, because it's not that deep. Portia just has to show, Portia just needs to prove to Shamia that like, listen, I can be a really good friend to you, and we can share the spotlight basically. But I think, because Shamia is not gonna step away from the spotlight at this point, like she's good at it, she earned it, all the things.
Yeah. And people are really loving her. It's not like people are like, why is she here?
Right.
And I kind of felt that way a little bit about Angela at the beginning. I was like, I don't get it. Why is she here? Mm. But now I'm like, okay. All right. So she's in there like stirring.
Tell me your
it
thoughts
up.
On Angela, because I am loving Angela. I need to know what your thoughts are on her.
But did you think at the beginning, like, I don't know, what's going on? Well, she's got a famous husband. Like, who cares?
I think that she was the one that we heard the least about. You know, like, especially in like through that premiere, like Kelly Britt and Shamia both got like personal scenes before that big party at the end of the first episode.
Okay.
And so Angela comes in with Charles and it's like, oh yeah, you're the famous husband, but like, well, who are you kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so I feel like I had the lowest expectations and the sort of slowest on-ramp with her.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I get it.
But to me, I feel like in the past four or five episodes, like basically since the hair salon thing, hair spa mm-hmm. thing, mm-hmm. she has really taken it. Like, there's something about her that I find fascinating, entertaining. There's a bit of a charade factor in her. There's something about it. Like, then she's a lot of personal storyline happening, a lot.
Yeah, that was interesting, too, about the, you know, alleged other baby. And she was like, oh, here's what happened.
Yeah.
I was talking to Wendy Williams, and I was like, no, wait a minute. We're just going to drop. I was talking to Wendy Williams, and I told her it's just a baby. I've dealt with that myself. Now, she says she was referring to her past relationship yeah. husband or whatnot, who had a baby with another woman, and it was the father of her child.
Yes.
So that's what she says she was referring to.
I believe her.
I believe her, too, because if I think if there was another baby, that woman would be like, hey, TMZ, give me $30,000. I'll tell you about right. my baby. You know?
Totally.
Don't you?
Yeah. And the only reason why it's coming up is because Wendy Williams talked about it on her show years ago.
Years ago.
So, but that's like the only reason why it's like a rumor is because, like, it's not like it came from the streets. You know what I mean? It's not like it came from anybody else. It came from Wendy Williams, and that's it.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. And yeah. Angela said it to Wendy, and Wendy misunderstood what she meant.
Right.
According to Angela. Now, I am concerned about her $3 million property that is not even worth the land that it's on. That house. I love how Kelly was like, I mean, I'm yeah. sure, but this has got low ceilings. I was like, Kelly's like 5 feet tall. And she's like, low
ceilings.
Oh, she's
saying it's low? I know. Yeah, the properties thing where she won't go below the asking price at all. And it's
and like, you need to get rid of this. You need to get rid yeah, of the taxes.
It's a bit of a sinking ship with those properties.
Yeah. Somebody needs to come in here, raise the ceilings. I don't know what's lower the floor. Something's going to have to happen in here. Yeah, that was really... funny, but Kelly's like, it's cute. Yeah.
I loved when Angela was like, the reason why I invited Portia to my rental property is because I don't invite people who say they want to fuck my husband to my house.
So good. You know what? I think that's a motto we could all live by.
Put that on my tombstone, you know, like that is.
If a friend said that to me, I'd be like, you know what? Maybe you're not coming over.
Even
that's
if you're joking,
lives.
Maybe you're not joking. You know what I mean?
Right.
Especially with if you have a spotty track record. So,
Yeah. But that Charles Oakley, though, it was on like the first or second episode when he was on in the kitchen, you know, doing the cooking and stuff. And my husband walks through the kitchen and goes, is that Charles Oakley? I go, yeah, he's on Real Housewives of Atlanta because of his wife. And my husband's just like, oh my God. He was like, that's a shit.
Well, like I wouldn't have recognized him. So that actually tells me that he's so obviously so recognizable. And
he's
I knew
super,
that.
Super, super famous in the basketball world. I don't follow sport. Like he played with Michael Jordan, like super famous. So right. for my husband to walk through the room and recognize him just from a quick scene, he was like, wow.
I need somebody to really like sit me down and explain to me what happened with him being dragged out of Madison Square Garden or whatever that was. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like they keep alluding to that. I feel like it was explained to us once, but I don't fully know why and when and how that impact. Like, do you feel like you grasp that?
No, I feel like all I know is that he went in as a former player and that either the coach or somebody there, they got into like a verbal altercation, maybe like during the play of the basketball game. And he was asked to leave by security, which is a huge slap in the face because he's a big, it'd be like Michael Jordan, right? It's like a
right.
Scottie Pippen.
In front of a whole crowd.
Thrown out. And then now she says after that he spiraled and then, you know, had an affair and they got separated and stuff. I have a feeling that all those things went hand in hand. Like he had this bad behavior maybe because he was having an affair. Do you know what I mean? It was a bad time. But what I did like is that she was like, yeah, it was bad for our marriage. We separated for a while, but we came back together. And this is when I feel like this is a good housewife. This is somebody who's been through some shit.
Yes.
They've been through it with their family. They've been through it with their husband, publicly, privately. She's very honest. We separated. I really am liking her more and more as
yeah,
the episodes go.
I totally agree. I totally agree. And I think that I buy most of what she's selling us in terms of her story. And mm-hmm. I think like for her to start out being such an open book and being so upfront with like how messy her past has been in so many different ways. Like,
yeah.
And she's not ashamed of that. She has no pride in terms of sharing that, but she'll still defend certain things within the group against herself. And so I think that that is, she just has she has a lot of the ingredients, I think. And it's really, I think with time, she'll even like fine tune them even more. Like there's a lot to love about Angela Oakley.
I agree. And now that you said the Sheree thing, I can't quit thinking about it. I'm thinking about in her confessionals where she's sitting in that chair. It is so Sheree, which is like a super high compliment in my book.
I mean, totally
Sheree
agree.
Is like Housewives.
Sheree's a legend. She's a legend. Yeah, totally. Drew and Portia's situation with Dennis and all of that. Where are you landing on with that? Who do you think is sort of to blame?
Well, first of all, I don't think they're involved in a sexual relationship.
I don't think so either. Yeah, I think that's projection or something.
Yeah, I don't think that's happening. But I do think that it's messy of Drew, and I think it is shady of Dennis. And I think that Dennis, the hot dog king, has never done music in his life, and now he's a record producer in Atlanta. I think in Atlanta, there's no shortage
of
great record producers. So why Dennis? Is because Dennis says, I'll do it for free if you get me some camera time. What does he gain from camera time? We already know he's the hot dog king. He can't sell more hot dogs. Like, I don't, you know what I mean? He's not launching a new business as a producer. What does he gain from camera time? Because we know that they don't pay the boyfriends or whatever.
Right. Yeah. He's not being paid for these appearances by
any
means.
So what does he gain by?
I think he fucks with Portia. I don't know. It's like,
because she married that Simon guy. And, you know,
Is it like, is it payback of some sort? Is it, especially because she asked him not to film with her. And I feel like Drew, I believe they're not involved in all that, but it's, I feel like she's kind of not playing dumb with why it's annoying Portia. But like, if I'm Portia, like, there's something sketchy about what's happening here. Like,
I agree.
You're trying to organize your own photo shoots for my brand that you're a representative of. Mm-hmm. You're filming, you're making a record with my husband sort of behind my back and being a little shady about it. Mm-hmm. We saw at the beginning of the season when Drew was like, oh yeah, I tried to sit down with her about it. And it was sort of like, she tried calling her once, like, and texting her once, but she could have just texted her the information if Portia was too hard to pin down, but she didn't do that.
And I think Cynthia said it right. You know, baby daddy said different.
They hit
you
different
know,
than like a
Yeah, hat. you can't just, this is somebody that's going to be in her life for a minimum 18 years. I mean, you know, so she has to see him all the time. And she has flat out told him twice. And for him to be like, I didn't know they were filming.
Right.
Sir.
Come on, man. Come on, dude.
Sir.
Come on.
When you drove up and saw the production vans and walked in and saw all the crew and you got mic'd and you signed the little piece of paper, pretty sure those four or five things were a clue that it was being filmed. He didn't like walk in the middle of a session and the cameras were there.
Right.
He was like, turn the cameras off. I didn't consent to this.
Also, I think he got there first. I think, didn't they show like a receipt where like he was there? He was like, no, Drew was there first and the cameras were there. No, he was there first.
Because she walked in and was like, hey, and started dancing to the song.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know. I do think that they're kind of going in circles with the Portia, Dennis, Drew thing. I'm sort of like, let's move forward. And there's this theory on, I feel like online of like, Portia sort of being hung on about it because she's trying to avoid talking about all the Simon stuff that's happening in the background. Mm. And so she's sort of she wants this to be, because she knows it's not that serious probably, she kind of wants this to be her primary discussion topic on the show, which I think is probably a pretty valid theory.
Wouldn't it be interesting if before the season started, Portia and Shamia got together and decided they're going to create this storyline about them being mad at each other about Shamia coming on the show to make it a huge storyline so that Portia doesn't have to talk about Simon?
I mean, that's the bigger conspiracy theory right there, Mary Pan.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
I think a lot of planning goes on beforehand.
I hadn't thought about that. Yeah. And it's like, it's one of those things because it's like, okay. What comes, does the cart come before the horse? It's like Shamia comes on as like, she's the friend of that's now a housewife. She has her peach. And it's like, the first question you're going to ask is, are Portia and her going to have a falling out? That happens almost every, like so many of the premier friendships on like every single franchise have their falling out season. And for it to happen like right away with them, it's like, you really couldn't go one season without doing it. You know what I mean?
Also, let's just quickly zip backwards. What was up with the yoga, the meditation, and the lingerie? Why are we? Let me tell you something. If I was in any of those get-ups, I would not be able to relax and focus on my breathing.
No.
I'd be focused on, is my cooch out? Can you see my nipples? Can somebody get a blanket on me? I'm freezing. Like, what were these outfits, these get-ups? And then they were like, now we're going to go and meditate. I was like, no, ma'am.
Now we're going to go meditate, and then we're going to have one of those manufactured housewives games where you have to air out your grievances with somebody and say you can forgive them.
Yes. Yeah. I was like, I'm going to need to put on my sweats before I meditate, please.
And that event, like when they were setting up for that event, I was like, oh, okay, there's going to be like a bunch of people there. It's going to be like, you know,
right.
all these like influencers and stuff in the background. It was just for like those eight women to like lay on mattresses on the floor and take photos. I thought it was going to be a whole thing and it was just all for them.
Normally, you'd see Gibson in the background. Normally, Gibson would be like,
listen,
hey,
I've been to some of those events.
I know. Please, next time you get invited, tell me to come. I'll come on the train.
Oh, my God. There we go.
If you,
yeah, I feel
if you
like
need a plus one, I'm literally up there. I'm ready.
Oh, my God. Like, back in the day when I did, I went to, like, Sonia Morgan's fashion show that was filmed. Like, some
first
random...
Century 21 line?
Yep. Ding, ding, ding. Yep. That was, like, season 11 or 12, I want to say. And, like... Mm-hmm.
And the Century 21 closed. That was such a great store.
It did close. But yeah, but those are the days. But yeah, so next time I have invited to a filmed event, I'll let you know.
It doesn't have to be filmed. I don't even care. Okay. If it's any kind of event, please just be like, okay, I've asked four people. Nobody can come. Maybe Mary Beth can get on the train.
No.
I'll come.
All right, let's go to the West Coast. Let's go to the Valley. I loved having another episode without Jax. You know what I mean? There was I didn't miss him, and it still provided a lot of drama. He was obviously trying to get involved via texting Brittany every 5 minutes, but he was not there, and I loved it.
Didn't he give you just like a, speaking of meditation and Zen?
Yeah, that's my form of meditation.
No Jax.
Maybe they took his phone. They should just take his phone away at that fucking rehab. I don't understand that.
So Gibson, here's something. My husband's sober now almost 11 years.
Amazing.
So I am aware of what happens in rehab. And what doesn't happen in rehab is you get your phone. Never,
what's the fucking
not
deal?
Once, never. My husband did not have a phone for 90 days. Never. Never once. Now, once you like are there a certain amount of time, they
like
let
a landline.
They give you a landline. You can make phone calls. You have to literally have phone numbers on a piece of paper. You could call people. And like when he would say, I'm going to call you tomorrow at 4, if I didn't answer the phone at 4, he would roll to the next person. Like, well, she didn't answer. I'm going to call my parents or whatever. Because you get like exactly 30 minutes every other day. This is not.
It speaks to the legitimacy of the place he went.
He's so manipulative that he's like, I got to have my phone for work. Like I'm running an empire. I got to have work for my, and he's telling them, but she says like he gets 15 minutes, rage checks, and then gives the phone back.
Yeah. Jesus. I mean, mm-mm. it's such a joke. It's such a joke. This episode had a lot of Jesse and Michelle, a lot of them. We had they continue to boil over, and we had this, what I think is maybe the line of the year for this show so far is, why is a gay guy sending him money? We're sending you money.
You saw his excuse on Watch What Happens Live. It's a client.
It's a client. It was his birthday. It wasn't that much money.
I think it was Ben and Ronnie said on their recap, they were like, do you send your friends money for their birthday? Like, do you just like, Gibson, me, do you just like, oh my gosh, it's my friend's Mary's birthday. I think I'll send her $1,500. No.
But I think
that's the basis for this whole thing is they have this joint account and he saw this $1,500 come in from this client of theirs. And she's like, same client that sent us money for Isabella, same client that sent us money for our wedding, same client that sent me money for for my birthday. And you took that and ran with it and said, I'm screwing this guy for $1,500. Now she says, but let me pull up what you've done. How come the gay guy is sending you money? You guys need to go ahead and separate those accounts.
Totally.
Especially if he has taken all your money, you don't need to be.
Oh my God. No, we don't need him spending $5,000 on a bottle of wine using your money anymore, ma'am.
Stupid. So stupid.
No, it's like, I do think that weird shit happens in LA though, where it's like you have this weird blurring of the lines between like professional and personal. And maybe this guy has been sending Jesse money for his birthday every single year because he likes having this like handsome man around who dresses well. You know what I mean? Like, he likes to be seen at the Chateau Marmont with him. I don't know. But like, I don't think there's anything like nefarious, like, you know, intimate wise happening between Jesse and this man. But like, I just, the delivery of that moment was hilarious. And you're right. It gets to a lot of the through line for them is the finances. And that is clearly like, they're using that against each other. And they keep bringing it up. And like, I believe that Jesse spent a lot of their money. I do, because he didn't even fully deny it on Watch What Happens Live. He was like, no, I didn't. I do like to spend a lot of money, and I spend my money on experiences, though. Did you notice that he said that? And it was kind of like, well, you didn't totally deny it.
He also said that on the after show.
Okay.
That's his line. That's his line is I spend money on experiences, sir.
Yeah.
Sir.
That's still spending your money, though.
And he did address the underwear, which thank God, because, but Gibson, I was like, okay, those are, I can't stand this guy, but I took up for him because I go, I think what it is they're boxer briefs. The house is hot. And he just bunched up the boxer briefs.
Yeah, that's probably what.
But he said, no, those were just baggy underwear.
And he had bought a 3-pack and those are the gray ones.
And those were the gray ones. I was like.
And then he said that on Watch Diamonds Live, he was wearing much smaller and tighter ones. So.
Okay, thank goodness. Well, either just go full boxer.
Totally.
Or go tidy whitey. But whatever that was like a bloomer for a baby. You know, like what you put on like a little girl, like those little fancy pants with the monogram on the butt. That's that's what it looked like.
He had his initials stitched on the back of those ones. Of course.
You know he's got his initials on
all his shirts. My God.
All his shirts.
Yeah. I keep coming back with Jesse though, that it's like I just feel like even on Watch What Happens Live, he is like a charming, attractive man. And it's like I just feel like that helps him get away with certain things and I just think the way he talks about everything, it's very like manipulative and very kind of like circumvents the actual truth a lot of the time. You know what I mean?
He's a lot like Jax. A lot. Yeah. It's a lot. Jax is like narcissistic and sociopathic, allegedly, in my non-medical opinion.
Yes.
Jesse seems to be, from my perspective, maybe just narcissistic and not sociopathic. It seems that Jesse can put his child
definitely
first, and maybe not though. She says he lives with the babysitter a lot and lets her just swim at the Chateau Marmont while he pretends to be on calls. So maybe not. But
right.
I think that we just have so much more years of experience with Jax and how awful he is. So maybe, 5 years from now, we'll be having this conversation. Like, remember when we said Jesse wasn't as bad as Jax? We were wrong.
Yeah, it's like he's only been around the cameras for a year and a half. So it's like when he's been around the cameras and had all this sort of interjected into his life for 2 to 3 years, even, I'm curious what that looks like. Because I think he feels to me this season emboldened. Like maybe that's now that they're officially separated and they're getting a divorce, like maybe that's what it is. But I also, there's something about like his confidence level this season. I'm like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. Did you watch the after show when he,
yes.
when,
what
okay,
he
when, Michelle said that before they started filming the season, they sat down, she said with an interventionist, but I think she meant a mediator, that they sat down with somebody and decided for the season, he would not continue to bring up that she cheated because she has admitted that she kissed somebody or had an affair, whatever it was. He would not bring that up and she would not bring up the money. They agreed that. And then literally first day of filming.
Immediately
he brings it up. So she was trying to like hold off on the money stuff because she's like, I don't want him to like be embarrassed. But she was like, okay, now you've said it. You won't apologize. You're continuing to say it. You're going from escort now to full on hooker. I'm just on the corner now.
Right, right.
And you're doubling down and tripling down. And so now I'm going to tell everybody that we had $2 million that you lost,
Mm-hmm.
Which is a nice chunk.
And I also feel like in the after show and on Watch What Happens Live, it's like he kind of is readily admitting that like the things that he's saying he knew they weren't true.
He started the rumor. He's like, I didn't believe the rumors. I'm like, you started it. What do you mean you didn't believe it? You started it.
And he doesn't believe it. The affair thing, for example, he's like, well, she admitted to kissing somebody but I don't believe that she physically cheated on me with Aaron, her boyfriend. But like, I do think it was emotionally now. So like, it's just like, it's always evolving, and he's always sort of walking it back and sort of on the show. He said it in a very severe way every single time. And but he knows what he's doing.
Well, the difference between Jesse and Jax, I mean, there's lots of differences. Okay. Again, time will tell. But the difference between these two is that Jesse is smart.
Yeah, he is smart.
That's the difference.
He's very smart. Yep, you can tell.
He's very smart with his manipulation and thinks about it one step ahead, where Jax will just like blurt out like you're fat or you're drunk or you know what I mean? He exaggerates and makes things up, but he's not smart with his manipulation.
Yeah. So
or maybe
true.
We're just so used to it. But I think
Jesse's very smart. Yeah. I think Jesse is much smarter than Jax, obviously. Mm-hmm. And you're right. That's a big divide line between them. The other thing that obviously came up this week that I personally find fascinating is the Nia and Danny thing with his drinking. And, you know, we had an inkling about that from the Big Bear trip on season one.
Yeah.
And, you know, because other than that, they had a pretty pristine first season when it comes to like joining reality TV.
Yeah.
And you kind of sense that like that was going to be picked up on for a second season because everybody else is kind of warts and all, but they don't want to do that. They're following kind of her lead, I think, with like the pageantry of it all, like wanting to present this image.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I believe they have a good relationship overall,
yeah.
but like
mm-hmm.
if you don't want to admit even little issues that you have in your relationship, then that's going to start to piss off your castmates.
Well, on the recap we did, you know, Keisha's like, I just don't understand why she's doing that. And again, being married to a person, you know, who's yeah. in recovery, I can tell you why she's doing it. I said, because she just wants to come out and be like, everything's fine. Everything's said, he's just so tired. And you're just like, I don't want to discuss this. I just want to mm-hmm. like eat dinner. I don't want to like for 10 minutes talk about, yeah, my husband's drunk again or whatever. Or, and the whole thing about the chugging the tequila in the closet, I'm here to tell you firsthand, that's a problem. That's right. where it starts if you're hiding it because you're trying to get more drunk and the whole like, I've got to catch up. And then she's like, you're caught up. And it's like, I got to get more drunk until I just completely pass out, which is what happened. And the whole her not being able to wake him up. I was like, I've lived it. And I'm like, I can tell you why she's doing that is because she's aware of it. She knows everybody's aware of it. She knows he's aware of it. But it's sort of like maybe they're just not ready to say he has a problem. And even on Watch What Happens Live, I didn't feel like he was very much like,
I agree.
Yeah, man, those that last year, man, that was rough. You're right. That was awful. Like I've really taken a good look at my drinking and I'm trying to, he just said, mm-hmm. everybody else was drinking and why not? And I've got three under three and why not? And he never said, all he said on Watch What Happens Live for people that didn't see it was, we do like to keep our dirty laundry at home. We do have gone to couples therapy over, you know, like maybe what happened at Halloween with this inappropriate behavior or whatever. He goes, but we just don't like to air it. I was like, sir, you're on a reality show.
Mm-hmm.
And my co-host Keisha was like, I don't understand why Brittany's so mad. I go, I do.
I do
understand
too.
Why Brittany is so mad because she's like, are you kidding me? I have to talk about everything. And she can't literally just come to the table and be like, oh my God, he got drunk and passed out. I'm so mad. Like, mm-hmm. I can't believe he came all the way here and got drunk and passed out. That's all she had to say.
Right.
But instead, she's like, poor baby.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Like the way that Nia avoided it actually makes it a bigger thing. Because you can, saying like, oh, he drank too much. He has to sleep it off. Like, that's what he should be doing. He should be sleeping it off. That's
yeah.
great. But like, and he can also be tired from raising the kids and his going back and forth to work for a full day. Like, he can yeah. be tired from that and also, you know, acknowledge the fact that, like, whenever he drinks, there is a pattern. Like, something happens that's, like, a little off every time.
She should have made a joke. Like, be glad he's
totally.
Passed out so he's not going to grab anybody's
ass. That's
where
they lose. Yeah, that's
you
where
know?
They lose.
Yeah.
yeah, they don't get ahead of it at all. And, like, I agree. I totally understand why Brittany is annoyed about it. And I think that she has a right to be. But at the same time, I do acknowledge that, like, she also covered for Jax for a very long time for a lot of his bad behavior. And I think that...
Totally.
I think that she could have benefited from... She was obviously in the heat of the moment and had also been drinking, but Brittany could have benefited from having a little bit, showing a little bit more sympathy for Nia's role in that, sort of having to be the messenger and be the explainer, because mm-hmm. she's also been that person for so many years with Jax. You know what I mean?
I guess, you know, Nia was at the table going, he's being manipulative. And then she goes in there and talks to Michelle and like, he's such an asshole. And we're like, okay, well, you can't just always be this like voice of reason that floats around when your husband is so passed out that you couldn't wake him up.
Yeah.
She could have done that whole like, baby, you want to wake up? And been funny. And then just like looked at the camera and been like, what do you want me to do?
Yeah,
you know?
Totally.
And then it would not have been a big deal.
Mm-mm.
But I think that, I hope that what we're going to see going forward is we're going to see Brittany sort of talked to Nia and Nia sort of talked to Brittany and just be like, she will have empathy for Nia because she's been there. She's been there, you know, where you're covering up and trying to make like everything's fine.
I hope what after, obviously shit hits the van at the end of this episode and is to be continued. But like, I do hope the next morning Brittany has that, maybe that realization that like, it's actually maybe that's why she got so mad. It's kind of triggering for her in some ways, because it's like she sees herself and she can kind of, you're right, help Nia through that a little bit. And I think from Jasmine's perspective, why she was so activated over it is because, in my mind, for Nia and Danny to be so dismissive of the drinking thing, it sort of dismisses her experience with him on that Halloween night, where it's like he literally groped her. He grabbed her leg, yeah, or her butt or whatever it was, and said, get daddy a drink. Like, that is crossing a line. And like, by them being like, oh no, he doesn't have a problem, he's good, you're kind of dismissing her experience and her having an issue with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yes, that's a really good point too, because she's like, nobody, like, I deserve more than his stupid apology, and my girlfriend deserves more than his stupid apology. When they were all sitting outside listening to Jesse and Michelle fight, the funniest part, this is how we know we love Melissa, who we haven't seen very much, because when Jasmine goes, I really think that, she's like, shh, trying to listen.
That would have been us.
I'm like, shh, don't talk. We'll talk about it later. So, but Zach had a great episode, because he's like,
he did have a good episode.
Did she kill him? Did she kill him? It got quiet. Oh my God. That scene, how the production had that white
shot
throwing the drink. Like, whatever
that was
the cameraman that was on that Emmy.
And that shot, her going down the stairs, but still yelling up at him, and like him changing his it was just, the whole thing was cinema. It's cinema for me. I mean,
I find her, a lot of people don't like her, but I find her to be fascinating look at. And that's really what I want on my, it's like Luann. Whenever she comes on the screen, whatever is going on with whatever she's wearing in her body, I'm just like, I just like to look at her because she's like, wow.
Right. I think Michelle's beautiful. And I don't even like, I don't necessarily like love her in that way. I just like think that maybe partially because of the audience reaction, how they've sort of like dismissed her because she admitted to kissing somebody else. And
yeah,
they believe Jesse's like story about her maybe cheating more. I think that they've sort of dismissed her in that way. But to me, I don't find her, I'm not like turned off by her in the same way that a lot of people seem to be.
Don't you think that what happened, Gibson, don't you think is when this show, Zach has said when they got greenlit for the show, they gave them like a week and a half and they started filming. They they all had auditioned and signed their contracts or whatever, but they didn't know it was going to go. Because Zach said, that's why his hair looks so bad last season. I mean, it still looks bad because he didn't have enough time to get a proper haircut. But don't you think that Jesse and Michelle had decided to, she had tried more than once to leave and separate. Yeah. But then he's like, we're doing this show, you can't leave me now.
Yeah,
but this
has to
be ours. We have to start together, or one of us will be kicked off.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think that's what happened?
I believe that. That's a really good callback, honestly, because I had forgotten
about
that.
And he knew at that point.
And she didn't have time to put together a plan. She didn't have time to like really make it happen. It's easier to just jump back into the same house together and like whatever.
We'll deal with it when the season's over.
Totally. Yeah. And it's very clear they had troubles for a long time. And so they are not meant to be together. I just hope that they stop using Isabella as like a pawn between them, which is like the almost every episode there's like, mm-hmm, they're kind of using her in that way. I think kind of both of them are, to be honest. And like, I hate that. Like that, and that's part of the darkness for me for the Valley, is like the kids just being right there.
Yeah.
But
especially Cruz is always in
such
the pool.
Young
we're
kids.
Talking about it.
Yeah. They're like right out of frame, you know? And
yes.
That's the difference, I think, for me a little bit.
But
I can't look away. And like, I keep saying this, but like the after show makes it feel like there have only been 5 episodes of The Valley.
Yeah.
It feels like there's been 10 because the after shows are all 30 to 45 minutes long and they have like a dump of information in them. Like, feel like we've watched 10 episodes of the show already.
I love Tom Schwartz on the after show, just sits there and he's jumped from the office. He's constantly looking at the camera like, okay, like I've been talking to, I know this guy,
I'm with Jackson
years,
Jesse,
and he's like, I just love how Tom's always like, yeah, but remember that you did go, and then remember they did give you that prescription for the Lexapro. He's like, no, that was a separate prescription. He's like, Brittany said it sat in the drawer for you. He goes, no, I filled it the second time.
It
the second time. And
he's
Tom Schwartz is going, uh-huh, you guys, like, if you went to Jax's house right now, that prescription would still be sitting in the drawer. He did not fill it ever.
No. Are you kidding me? He's such a liar. Oh my God.
Such a liar. It's terrible.
Last thing for you. I talked to my last guest about this. Do you think that Jax should still be on the show? I think there's like this kind of growing idea that maybe like we shouldn't be having him on the show at all anymore because of his behavior and just how he is? How do you think about that?
I think if she would have called the police when whatever happened in their house, that they have totally danced around. First it was, he knocked over a coffee table and hit me in the knee. And then it was, I threw a bar stool. You know what I mean? It's like, we don't know actually what happened, but it does sound like a domestic situation where she
definitely
could have called the police and probably chose not to for his sake. But I think if the police would have been called, like a DJ James Kennedy situation, no, I don't think he would. I don't think he would be on. Now, should he be on? I personally think anybody that's going any kind of recovery journey should give themselves a little bit of time
away from the camera.
Away from the camera or anything in your life, you know, that if you're able. So
yeah,
it's not going to happen.
Yeah, I know. That's what I said.
Shannon hit a house and we had her right back on our
Jax
screen.
Jax is first chair at the reunion, you know? So like,
yeah.
So it's not going to happen. Yeah.
I also love on the after show, we learned that Lala also used to hook up with Julian.
Wild. I mean, this group, that's what I say to people who, especially for Sheena and Lala, it's like, I just feel like they're so interconnected with these people, more so Sheena, but like, why not have them? They're not huge factors on the show. They add some good context and background information. Like, why not? Like, it's not really taking away from the show at all. They're not on the trips, or you know what I mean? So.
Yeah, I totally think they should come on because they are actually friends and they do actually go to each other's events and stuff. So why not?
Totally. Yeah absolutely. Yeah. Well, Mary Payne, this has been so much fun. I love gabbing with you every time we get to record together.
Yeah. I have your new t-shirt, by the way.
Oh,
your
yes.
Merch.
Thank you so much for buying it. That's so nice of you.
I don't have it with me at the beach, right, or I would have been wearing it to show, but it's so cute. And it says, hating reality TV doesn't make you deep. Is that what it says?
Yep. Yeah. And it doesn't.
Great.
Yep.
It's a great shirt.
Yep. Thank you so much. I think we all sort of think that way. All these podcasters, like that's our MO. So,
that's right.
When and where can people listen to Pink Shade? You do one Bravo-centric episode every single week.
Yes.
Do the plugs before we sign off.
Yeah. Mondays I cover Love After Lockup. Tuesdays I cover whatever is the core 90-day show. And Thursdays I do Pop and Bravo, where I talk pop culture and Bravo with different people like Gibson, like Kate Casey, like Ben and Ronnie, all of our Bravo friends. And on the weekends, I cover whatever is the secondary TLC show, which coming up soon will be 90 Day Fiancé, The Hunt for Love. So
love it.
I get low in the trash and then I come right up for Bravo. Yeah.
The top of the heap, you know?
The top of the heap. That's right. That's right.
I love it. Oh my God. Well, thank you so much for doing this, and we'll do it again soon, I'm sure.
Thank you, Gibson.
Thank you for listening to the show. Subscribe to Gabbing with Gabe on any podcast platform to listen to new episodes, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gabe on YouTube to watch full-length versions of our interviews. We'd also love your support with a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. You can follow me at Gibsonoma on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, and keep up with all things Gabbing with Gib at Gabbing with Gib on Instagram and TikTok. Gabbing with Gib is an independent podcast hosted by me, Gibson Johns. It's produced by myself and Riley Dabbs. Graphics are by Rachel Roth, and our cover art photography is by Troy Hallahan. If you want to reach out about guest booking, sponsorship, or advertising opportunities, email us at gabbingwithgib@gmail.com. Thank you again for your support, and see you next time.
Close your eyes, exhale, feel your body relax, and let go of whatever you're carrying today.
Well, I'm letting go of the worry that I wouldn't get my new contacts in time for this class. I got them delivered free from 1-800-CONTACTS. Oh my gosh, they're so fast.
And breathe.
Oh, sorry. I almost couldn't breathe when I saw the discount they gave me on my first order. Oh, sorry. Namaste.
Visit 1-800-CONTACTS.com today to save on your first order.
1-800-CONTACTS.
How many discounts does USAA auto insurance offer? Too many to say here. Multi-vehicle discount, safe driver discount, new vehicle discount, storage discount, legacy.
How many discounts will you stack up? Tap the banner or visit usaa.com/auto discounts. Restrictions apply.